The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down in the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, 'Give this person your place,' and then in disgrace, you should start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And he said also to the one who invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you to return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's sermon is brought to you by the letter H. We have hospitality and humility and healing. Hospitality. Some of you know that I spent part of my sabbatical on the Camino de Santiago, specifically a portion known as the French Way. And part of what is absolutely essential to the functioning of the Camino are the people known as hospitaliers. They are people who scrub toilets, mop floors, and make beds. They make it possible for weary pilgrims to roll in and have a place to sleep for the night. Sometimes their duties also include preparing a simple meal. But their work, day in and day out, for thousands of pilgrims who speak dozens of languages, is to welcome each person as they welcome Christ themselves. And that has been a necessity for the Camino over 1,000 years. Today, what happens is that people who volunteer, they're mostly all volunteers, they spend a week or 2 weeks or maybe even a month with that. They have special training because when you put large groups of people that don't know each other together, you have some things that you need to do to ensure that you don't have a nice incubator for all kinds of diseases and other things like that. So their work is tremendously important to allow people who have chosen this way, this opportunity to walk the way, to be able to engage that. This Sabbath discipline would not be possible without their hospitality. So I was on sabbatical, and the same word that we get Sabbath from gives us sabbatical. It means to stop, it means to rest, and it means to keep. So we'll think about that. So part of my work was thinking about Sabbath, and I spent a lot of time thinking about Sabbath, intentionally thinking about Sabbath, because here I have been given this opportunity to stop and to rest and to keep my focus, and yet I'm also engaged in this physical activity with the Camino. And I will tell you that we have a struggle with the Sabbath. It's not something that we have done well, despite the fact that it is biblically commanded. We see it in the opening chapter of Genesis. God rests on the seventh day. And then after God brings the people of Israel out of enslavement, he gives them the commandments. One of those commandments, specifically the number 4, is to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And what God says in Exodus is that that is a way that you escape enslavement. That is a way that you escape enslavement. And it's not only for the people of Israel. It's for those foreigners in their land. It is for their servants and for their animals. This idea that we were created for more than constantly being at work. You know, the 24/7 workday is not new. And in the ancient world, the Israelites were considered extremely strange, because they would not work one day a week. They would not work. They refused to work. They would go to their death rather than work. And we find people who will step back from work extremely strange today. And it is a strange thing, despite being commanded, despite what the psalmist will tell us about, happy are they who keep the commandment. Despite God's understanding that the Sabbath is a gift, I think we struggle with it. And we find when we look again at the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, it's a slightly different form. A lot of times people are unaware that they come out a little bit different depending on which book that you're looking at. The basic shape is the same. But here, the focus is on relationship. That we are to stop, rest, and keep focused on the relationships. That God is the creator and the one who has given us life, and this gives us time to contemplate that. And because we are always in this double thing of being in relationship to God, we're also in relationship to other people. And Sabbath time is a time for building up relationships with others. So with all of that in mind, I embarked on my sabbatical. And the first thing I did was decide that I was going to walk the Camino. And people generally walk the French Way in somewhere between 28 and 35 days. So I picked 30. And very carefully broke it up into 30 different segments. It takes a little more work than just taking 500 miles and dividing it by 30, because where you come out might not be a place there's a town. And so some days are a little longer and some days are a little shorter, and you have to be careful that you don't walk so much on this day that then the next day where you want to stop is way down the road. So it's a little bit of a balancing act, and I was very proud of my work. And I'm going over it with a person who's an outdoor educator who'd been helping me with preparing my pack. And she took a look at it and she goes, "Well, where are your rest days?" Like, I'm a priest. I'm sitting here talking to you about Sabbath, but when I made the plan, you know, it was no theirs. So what did I do? I took all the miles that I was going to walk on those rest days, and I shoved them in the other 6 days that I wasn't walking. That's not the way we're supposed to go at it, folks. No, we can't take and decide we're going to do 7 days worth of work in six. We actually have to engage our limits as human beings. And if I wasn't getting the point, I had the opportunity to meet with my orthopedic surgeon in February, and he talked to me about my limits. He said, you need a hip replacement. You cannot walk 30 miles a day. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. So you're going to need to back up and think about this. 30 kilometers a day. Big difference. But still, long way. Day after day after day after day. It's not the first day that's problematic. It's the fifth day. So that stopping for Sabbath, we find challenging. And I'm not sure why we think it was so much easier in the ancient world where you couldn't just turn on the tap and have water come out. You actually had to go get it. Where you didn't flip on the lights and the electricity worked. I mean, a lot of those things required serious amounts of work. So God must be pretty invested in this idea of Sabbath, not only for God to take it, but to command it for us. So I continued to work with that. And part of what I found in that sabbatical is, as I watched and others and engaged it myself, if you don't take Sabbath, your body breaks down. You just cannot. My outdoor educator who said you need to take rest days, she knew what she was talking about. You have to rest, but you have to rest during the time when you're exerting yourself. You can't just decide you're going to, you know, walk for 8 hours without rest. And those different pieces become problematic when we get really focused on the goal. So I get up in the morning and I had a goal, this is where I'm headed, you know, and it's like, and the guidebook even challenges us. The guidebook says, so will you stop and pray in this church or will you continue on your way and ignore it? Will you stop and notice this or will you continue on your way? It's trying to help all these driven people who've decided that they want to go away for Sabbath time and just don't really know how to do it. And it was interesting. It was interesting the arguments that I would have for myself, with myself. And it was interesting how I could watch it begin to shape and change me and other people around me as that time went on. It's not straightforward. I'd love to say it was straightforward. If it was, we wouldn't have had all these arguments. And it's easy to preach it and set the Pharisees up as the bad guys, but they're trying to give shape to these words, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. What does that mean? And there was something at stake for the people of Israel because there was an understanding that the Messiah would come either when things were really, really bad, or when the people of Israel had gotten themselves together and then the Messiah could be welcomed, or if the people of Israel could keep the Sabbath, if everybody would keep the Sabbath just once, the Messiah would come. Now, the Pharisees are looking around in first century Israel and they know things are really, really bad. So we got condition one, but we got no Messiah. So if the people would just keep the Sabbath, then the Messiah would come. Their investment was in that liberating, loving God and making that present. And I've talked just about how Sabbath can become present time for us when we engage it, when we are willing to engage the journey and not focus simply on the destination, when we are willing to stop and to rest and to notice and to keep our focus on what God is doing. Be aware of the people that God is bringing into our lives. We begin to engage Sabbath. But those questions continue to press and kind of nudge on me. And I will tell you, right at the end of the Camino, there's an opportunity. If you go 150 meters off the Camino to see a settlement that's like 4,000 years old. Most people don't go 150 meters off the Camino. And as I'm getting there, I'm like, okay, stop and rest and keep focus. And I continue that that litany. I think about it, and I want to share something that so after I got back, someone gave me a book called I'll Push You. It's written by Patrick Gray and Justin Skishunk. And Justin is a quadriplegic who decided he wanted to walk the Camino. Well, he decided that he would like to roll the Camino. And he presents it to his best friend, Patrick, and Patrick says, I'll push you. Patrick had no idea what he was committing to push a wheelchair over the mountains and through the mud and uphill and downhill on cobblestone roads and on narrow tracks on Roman roads. Yes, we have some of those on highways. But he made that commitment. And as he's going through the book, there's something that happens as he's going through this walk. What Patrick begins to notice is that while he had agreed to push Justin, it's actually Justin who's pushing everyone around them to be better, to be different. His willingness to be humble, to accept the fact that he was not going to be able to feed or toilet or dress or do one physical thing that would get him from Saint-Jean-Port-Dieu de Port to Santiago de Compostela, that his humble presentation and willingness to be pushed actually begins to call others into their better self. And Patrick soon realizes that he cannot push Justin by himself. There are points where it's taking 12 people in rotations of six, lifting Justin 10 feet and then changing out and lifting him 10 more feet. One of the mountain ranges, you go straight up for 8 hours. That was hard. Think about it with a wheelchair. But that call on Patrick's life begins to convict him about the ways that he was not keeping Sabbath in his own life, that he was not stopping to look at what God had put all around him. He was not resting in the providence of God, and he was not keeping close to those who he loved. And through that time, he begins to see it differently. And I share this with you because his observation is we could have Sabbath. Yes, one day a week. Absolutely. Great idea. But what about the other 6 days? If we're absolutely miserable and not looking at what God's doing the other 6 days, then we're going to miss a lot. And his call is for us to be willing to stop and to rest and to keep close to those around us, to take a Sabbath time during our days to see and make ourselves available to what God is doing, the messengers that God is sending to us and the messages that God is giving to us. I'm grateful. I'm massively grateful to this community for giving me the opportunity for the sabbatical and for that Sabbath time. I have been reawakened to the importance of stopping and resting and keeping focused. I've been reawakened to the importance of Sabbath and the recognition that there is no one in our community, in our culture, that's going to say that's a good idea. 7 days work, maybe 8 days work in seven. Keeping on pushing, pressing that ultra connectivity that we all struggle with. Radical countercultural idea to be able to stop and set it aside. The different ways that people do practice Sabbath, turning off technology at a particular time or for a particular day, setting it aside check your tech. I've heard about people go out to dinner with groups and it's like, nope, we're all going to put it in here. We're actually going to talk to each other. Those different practices, I believe we will find it as much of a challenge as the people of Israel were finding it. But here's the really ironic part. The Pharisees were so focused on setting out rules and regulations so that the kingdom would come that they missed Jesus' presence right among them. They missed the healing that was happening. They missed the kingdom come. We can participate. The promise that Jesus offers is we can participate in the kingdom right here and right now. If we are willing to avail ourselves of the very thing that God did at the beginning of creation, stop and rest and keep close. And